from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster: wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringutan is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there and call it good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, welcome in. Happy Monday, everybody.
If you say so.
Yeah, sure, I guess.
I feel great on this Monday. I do. It feels like we are inching closer and closer to football. That's why I am so happy.
Right, I'll give you that.
It felt like we had a little bit to get excited about.
It was awful fall-y this weekend.
The weather, it does feel like fall. That makes me so happy. It makes me thrilled. Thrilled. Yeah, I am just through the Olympic coverage. We watch on KGW, right? And they had all those commercials. You know, my family's new favorite weatherman is Rod Hill.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Rod Hill. Yeah. Him holding the umbrella every time. Kids are like, there he is. There's Rod. There he is. And I heard him say, popped on the TV, news was on. We're getting a little bit of fall weather. And that makes me feel good. You know, I went long sleeves today. You went long sleeves today. You're wearing a sweatshirt today.
Went tech fleece.
It's like you get that little crispness in the air, even though it is August. I don't care. It's still going to be in the 70s today. That's perfect weather.
I could drop it on the way home.
We got football weather, baby. We got football weather.
Home, babe.
And there was football on TV. It was great.
I'm still t-shirt, shorts, and flip-flops.
But I mean, I'm still wearing shorts and Crocs with everything else.
That's right. That's right. You run hot from the waist down. It's
always.
Okay.
Always.
It's all right. I can't do flip-flops anymore. I wore flip-flops this weekend and like all day long. Man, my ankles, they hurt. They don't have good ankle support. Arch support.
You got to go old man style with the old Dr. Scholl's flip-flops. These things are comfy as hell.
Yeah.
This is like my third pair of them. They're fantastic.
I don't know. I think I'm getting to that age where I understand Air Monarchs. Like, I don't like the way they look, but I understand them. I'm refusing to put a pair on because
I'm telling you, if they do those crossovers with the Monarch SBs, I'm grabbing a pair.
But is the SB that just looks like a Monarch, though?
I think it's a Monarch that looks like an SB.
Oh, I thought it was the other way around because I saw it and I was like, that's a Monarch. Nope, not a Monarch.
Yeah, it's the Monarch shell with the little SB touch to it.
Yeah.
I want them now. like, not even like those are okay. Like, I actively was like, I was embracing it.
I just can't. I can't commit to that. I can't commit to that.
I was in.
Yeah, I have
100% in.
I feel like there are. I am trending more and more towards just exclusive Air Max 90s because they are very comfortable.
Indeed.
And they look, they have very various styles of them. Comfortable.
They're
look
timeless.
Good. They are timeless. But at the same time, I know I can see it coming. I'm looking down. I could see the white light. I'm trying to stay away from it.
You
but
can
it's
see
pulling
the,
me in.
The Dr. Scholl's Skechers.
Yeah.
Air Monarch closet in your future.
It's there.
Yeah.
I don't feel good about it. Yeah. I'm starting to understand it now because I had the flip-flops I was wearing. I have a good pair of Reefs that are very comfortable.
Yes, indeed.
That have like a little air sole in them even. And I like those. But I wore like the stylish ones, right? We went to like a barbecue party and it was like you're wearing these to look okay and presentable. Paying for it.
Yeah,
Two days later.
Beauty is pain. Pain is beauty.
2 days later. I'm not about that.
I went the opposite way this weekend. Mm-hmm. I went and got the old petty again.
Oh yeah.
And you know, every now and then you get the leg and foot massage is kind of underwhelming. I got every penny worth.
Oh.
I might have made it mildly uncomfortable for my wife because I grunted.
Oh no.
She got the technician, like, she got into my feet and like massaged the living hell out of them. And I was like, oh my god, I didn't realize they were that bad.
That bah. Poor lady.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen the Parks and Rec where Andy Dwyer, Chris Pratt, he becomes the shoe shine? It's like he just starts as the shoe shine guy. Ron Swanson comes in to get his shoe shine, and Andy's sitting there working the toe, and he gets the bunion, and then Ron Swanson goes, oh. And they both just stop and they look at each other and they couldn't make eye contact the rest of the episode.
Yeah, no, it was.
That feels like it was you, like you were saying, and
you're not wrong. She kind of laughed and I'm like.
She stopped and then looked at you like, oh boy.
It was one of those things where like 4 or 5 hours later, my legs still felt, my feet felt better. Like, I don't know how to explain this other than to say, like, my feet felt flatter, like they opened up, they were like tight. But I didn't go slides or sandals. I've moved into the dock shoes. The boat shoes?
Yeah, boat shoes.
I found some that actually have like that are comfortable.
Okay.
Like you're not walking on a piece of wood the entire time.
I'm just totally reluctant to boat shoes altogether.
They're not bad.
Well, yeah.
They're not bad.
It just is like Southern frat, bro.
You're
in
not
my
wrong.
Mind. Like,
you're not wrong.
I would rather go the route of Air Monarchs than... Once you go boat shoes, the fear is that all of a sudden you're like,
foot.
I got to... Yeah, I'm going to have, what do they call it, croaky
with
for your sunglasses. I'm going to start wearing popped collar polos, and all of a sudden... Like, I turned to swag, right?
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I turned to high school swag.
Yeah.
And I would rather lean more into just being old curmudgeon-y old man wearing my Monarchs than I would the boat shoes. Because those are two slippery slopes, and you got to pick a side of the hill you're going to go down. There's no staying at the top of the mountain. We know this because the worst thing that you can do is be the old guy who's trying to look stylish.
Oh yeah,
and all the kids are like, "What is this guy?
What's
doing
on here?"
Yeah, that ain't it, boss.
No, I'm comfortable in my lane.
So you're going, but you'll go down. I can see you with croquis for your sunglasses.
No, I won't go that far.
There will be a time.
It
though,
won't be long.
Yeah, there will be a time. You're like, well, I don't want to put my sunglasses on my head anymore because I keep falling off. And you're like, this is just convenient for me. And you know what? That's okay, Danny. That's okay.
No, I won't go that far.
I think you might.
A collar might get popped. Collar might get popped. Like that might happen.
I don't know. He might hit like the croquis fanny pack combo in about the same month.
Tell you.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Just to be clear. It's not a fanny pack. It's a small bag.
It's a European carry-on.
I did get a satchel for Las Vegas. I got the Nike
Yeah.
The Nike one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't, well, look, man, you know what I didn't want? I didn't want to have a backpack on my back walking around in Las Vegas because it's so freaking hot.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, right. I got to carry around my equipment when I'm doing stuff. And I, my wife was like, you're doing this, huh? I'm like, yeah, I'm committing to it. You can't just have one foot in the satchel life. You're all the way in or all the way out.
You're turning into Alan then.
Yeah.
from the hangover.
It's a problem.
We went to a Timbers game and they have their bag rule, right? And they have like this little square that if it does not fit in there.
Yeah.
And my wife has like a Lululemon fanny pack that she wears when we go to like sporting events because it is widely accepted everywhere you go, right? The security guard goes, oh, well, the bag fits, but the band, it did not fit in there when she plopped it down. So they're like, yeah, you're going to have to go put that in the locker. She's like, you're saying that like the waistband is what is too big about this? And he was like, yeah, that it doesn't fit in the square. And she's like, okay.
She just smash it in there.
No, we went to another gate and she just put the handle underneath the bag this time and put it on the square. And they're like, yep, you're good.
Yeah.
It was like, really? That's what we're doing with our bag policy now is it's because you attach it to your body. The bag is too big. We've gone too far with bag policies, I think.
Yeah. Look, I mean,
I understand, like, there were people, like, with hiking backpacks that were trying to come into games.
Yeah.
There's a line there.
Look, man,
but
you can't bring in the portable grill.
No.
Have you seen the backpack grills?
No. But I saw Major League where they had a little hibachi in the outfield there, those guys who would bang the drum.
God, you know what? Look, if you're going to those games, you should be allowed to. If it is the middle of July and your team is 50 games out, like right now, White Sox fans should be allowed, like fans should be allowed to grill their brats in the outfield. Like that's a thing. Like
that is true.
Make brat day. Bring your own brat day. BYOB.
If you're a White Sox fan, you should be able to bring in whatever you want to that stadium.
Yeah, I'm sure nothing wrong can go on with that open flames out in the outfield bleachers.
Well, remember a White Sox game last year? Was it 2 years ago? That woman who hid her gun under her her stomach
belly flaps.
Oh, that's
and
right.
She accidentally shot herself. We're talking the south side of Chicago here.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. Yeah.
God, who knew there was a trifold to the prison wallet?
Good Lord. Oh, yikes.
Recover from that.
That's good. That's really good. All right. Oh, man.
Yeah. All right, Monday. We're about ready to break.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Vancouver Ford text lines 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at vancouverford.com. You can also be a party animal in the YouTube comments, youtube.com/1080amthefan, where Fantastic Mr. Fox says, okay, so what is Dusty going to own up to next? Rust, Dr. Schultz flip-flops, Danny, a satchel. Dusty, it's okay. You're the next. Well, that's how we started this, is that I think I'm going to be Air Monarch soon. Like, I think I'm there.
I'll tell you what, I don't have another pair of them yet, but the old laceless, they're kind of in the style of the old Vans, you know what I mean? The slip-on Vans. But Clarks, slip-on.
You're going to be a loafer guy.
Dude, they're so comfy.
You're going to be a loafer guy.
They're great.
All right. On the Vancouver Ford text line, we will get to this today. We have an inquiring mind. How did my son react to the U.S. and China finishing tied for gold medals?
Whoa. Have you heard the latest? China is claiming superiority because of Taiwan.
No, they can't do that.
Yeah.
They can't do that.
They're claiming Chinese Taipei is their own.
They can't do that. No.
It's like Australia trying to tell us to stop making fun of Ray Gun.
Yeah.
No, we will not. Yeah. And we will not allow China to hold on to Taiwan.
All right, hey, you know what?
She was put in an unwinnable situation.
She put herself there.
Australia put her there.
Gosh. I was going to say, let's claim Puerto Rico because they are American citizens.
But they play under our flag already, don't they?
They have, but that's the same thing as Taiwan. Mm-hmm. who's saying, no, you're not the boss of me. Yeah. You're not the boss of me, China. But Puerto Rico won zero
medals.
Gold medals. No. Yeah. Are they, wait, are they going Taipei or are they going, or China, or Taiwan? Because they won two golds. And then there's Hong Kong, which also won two.
They're not claiming Hong Kong. Not in the article that I've seen.
Interesting.
So.
Interesting.
Shrug?
We need to figure this out, though.
I'll dig into it.
You know what I'll do? I'll say, screw you, China. How about 126 total medals?
Yeah.
You know? How about you have a billion more people than we do, and we still flexed on your ass? How about that? How about we go for all the medals combined? Because guess what we do? Team sports. We don't archery and table tennis and rhythmic gymnastics. No, we got team sports. We want to count all the medals? How about both of our 4x400 relays?
Mm.
How about our men's and women's basketball teams? How about our women's national soccer team?
What if we counted the medals from each individual in there?
That's exactly what I'm saying, is that we've got way more gold medals than you. So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Even Jason Tatum, who got a participation trophy.
He played.
And then we realized why he shouldn't play.
Well, I mean, he's on Team USA.
Sure. And Ray Gunn was in the... You know what the great thing
Don't Ray Gunn Jason Tatum.
No, the great thing about Ray Gunn is...
Don't Ray Gunn Jason Tatum.
No, I think that would be great, actually.
It answered the question of, what's the sport with 6 months you feel like you could compete in?
Breaking.
And now we have the answer.
Breaking 100%.
With the bar being set so low...
Yeah. Do you see they're all upset about that?
Who's upset?
The breaking culture?
Oh, yeah, no, the breaking community is like, how the hell did this happen?
No.
And there's a whole story behind it.
No, they're upset that LA's like,
Yeah.
You're not going to be in our games in 2028.
No. And they've already said no, which is insane.
But we get flag football?
Mm.
China. We're going to take you out on that, too.
I don't know, man.
No, because did you hear Joe Burrow? Mm. Joe Burrow said, yeah, I would love to go and play 7-on-7 flag football in the Olympics and win a gold medal with Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, good Lord.
Yeah. How about we just say, we're going to send our NFL guys out there for a week and then go and just dominate you.
Just go routes.
Yeah. 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 I mean, we could...
You think you're fast? Go ahead and have a jump ball with him.
I think, like, if we send any college football team except Iowa or Navy or Army or Air Force, I think we could... They don't throw the ball. Stop that.
They don't need to.
You can't run the ball in flag football.
Pitch, baby.
No.
Option.
No. Stop. If we sent any other programs out there besides those, we could send any college football, Division I college football team and go win gold. I'm confident in that. I'm very confident in that. I think we should do that. Just say, we're going to go for the gold. We can't do what we did with 3-on-3 basketball. That's all I'm saying. The men's 3-on-3 was a joke. And when that needs to stop.
Yeah, and that's because the FIBA community actively is trying to sabotage the U.S. in that.
Yeah.
That's a real thing.
That's true.
So.
That's true. All right, let's get this show on the road. We've got a lot of football that we need to get to. AP Top 25 has been released for the preseason. Preseason poll. We do have some quarterback play in preseason NFL. It was off the chains.
I know where my MVP is going.
I have an Iowa update for everybody out there.
Punts counted?
Iowa football is back.
Punt-a-palooza, baby.
In a big way. But where we got to start, stay golden, USA. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dr. Curry dancing on Batum over the double team. Oh! It's a golden dagger! Night! Curry unconscious in the fourth. Davis with a rebound. Up ahead for Booker. Exclamation point.
He's a bad boy. Night.
8 threes for Curry. He has sent the French crowd into a frenzy they will never forget.
Noah Eagle on the call on NBC as Steph Curry went unconscious in the fourth quarter as Team USA wins gold in men's basketball 98-87 on Saturday. That was, we had two insanely good basketball games.
Yes.
In the semifinals and the finals for the men's team, and two insanely good basketball games for the men's and women's gold medal games, USA versus France. But Steph Curry, 8 of 13 from the field, 8 of 12 from three. In that fourth quarter, the final 2.5 minutes where he buried four of them, snatched the soul of the French national team.
The French haven't seen shots like that since the Napoleonic Wars.
Oh, my God. Well, he went history on us, folks. Yeah. There he is.
Humbib.
There he is.
But I was sitting in my living room watching that game, and I was cussing under my breath endlessly just how horrid the U.S. was playing for long portions of that game. They get down, they can't figure it out, then they finally put their foot down in the closing moments. And I thought it was poignant. It's Steph, KD, Braun again and again and again.
Yep.
And in those closing 3 minutes, Steph hits the first three, and you're like, that was a deep three. Okay, but we'll work with that. Gets it again, hits another deep three off the hezzy step back. And you're like,
The one over Wemby was insane.
The photo from that, it looks AI generated. It looks AI generated. It doesn't
crazy.
Make any sense. Then the one we heard there, he gives the ball up to KD, and KD has like this smirk on his face on the opposite wing with the ball, like, nah, you on one, man. Whoop! KD's the best scorer in NBA history. I will not hear other arguments. And he didn't even look at the rim because he knew.
He and LeBron were both open.
Wide open.
They were the two of the best players in the world were wide open, and they're like, nope, chef, go get it.
He hits Cook, that. Baby. That ball went up in the air. I'm like, there's no bleeping way, is what I yelled out as he let it go. And then a ethereal scream when it went in, because that shot was dumb. And I've heard people say, you know, or ask, is that Steph Curry's best shot of his career? And I think it is. And you can say that the shot against OKC was the shot, but it's the regular season. This is for a gold medal. This wrapped up the gold medal. This was it. No doubter. And it's over a very good defender in Nick Batum and a second defender, I think it's Cournier. Both outstretched, and he's stepping, falling back, fading away at 35 feet, and it's cash.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think when you talk about importance and memory and like the era, I think that's the shot you play when he goes into the Hall of Fame.
I think when you talk about Team USA, and you were saying that you were yelling at your TV, I go back to like when you looked at the way that Serbia was playing. They knew that they were going to go to Nikola Jokic. You looked at France. They knew that they were going to go to Victor Wembanyama. With the U.S., it's been so hard because you have those three guys, right? KD, LeBron, and Steph. And it's almost like it's harder for them to figure out who is going to be the hot hand that day, and it takes a little bit longer. Because what have we seen throughout the entirety of this tournament, right? It was LeBron taking over in closing minutes. It was KD taking over in closing minutes. You had Steph, who was borderline unplayable in pool play.
The first two games, he was not playable.
And then all of a sudden it is, he gets the hot hand in the final two games. And what was his final stat line from, I think it was like, was he 17 of 26 in the final two games?
The final two games, yeah.
From three? That is bananas.
It's absolutely nuts.
But it's like, it takes Team USA a little bit longer to figure out, all right, which guy is it that's going to take over? And that is, it's frustrating for us all to watch because we all know that there are three guys that can take over a game. There's five guys when you add Joel Embiid, who started playing a lot better, then went right back down. Devin Booker. Hell, I think we
Kerr
saw
Kerr was incredibly, incredibly
effusive in praise.
Effusive in praise, yes. This might
be the best version of Devin Booker, and I think it might be the, when you look at how Phoenix can win, his ability and his willingness
to
take
necessary.
A back seat, play hard on the defensive end, be a facilitator, take the easy looks that were given to him, that to me, I was like, if you're playing alongside KD, this may actually unlock Phoenix to being more of a threat. They're not going to be a threat to win a title, but more of a threat in the West because of the fact that Devin Booker can still go for 70 points in an NBA game.
And the other thing was is that, you know, they asked him to be basically Jrue Holiday, put ball pressure on the opposing point guard. Steve Kerr laid it out what they told Devin Booker,
and he did it.
And he said we wanted him to be the opposing ball pressure guy on their point guard, and then offensively keep the ball moving. But if you're wide open, take it. But we want your energy to be expended being gravity offensively, but defensively being a guy that gets after it. And he did that unquestionably without just the complete opposite of Jason Tatum. It's kind of funny that we can talk about Tatum a little bit, but Devin Booker always had the reputation of being kind of what Jason Tatum turned out to be.
Well, Booker was that just last year in Phoenix because there was a push and pull of who's the guy in Phoenix.
The maturity
showed up. Is it KD or is it Devin Booker? And it goes back to that. So somebody on social media last year after the FIBA World Championships when we lost to Germany, right? Said Team USA needs a guy who's going to, you know, put his ego to the side and do what it takes to win games. And Book quote tweeted it with, "I'll do it." And he did.
Yeah.
He backed it up. But he was impressive in that gold medal game because he was early. He got going scoring because he got a couple runouts. And I think he had a three early. Mm-hmm. But after that, it was like, all right, I'm going to do what it takes for us to just get over the hump and win this game. And I have a whole new found respect for Devin Booker. Because that's a really tough thing to do when your entire life, you've never been asked to do that. And then you have the ability to do it in, what, a month and a half span.
I think the interesting thing coming out of this Olympic cycle is this is pretty clearly Steph, Braun, KD's last Olympic cycle. What does the Olympic team look like going forward? Because it's going to be a drastic shift. And I would not expect Tatum to be a part of this going forward.
I don't think he will be, but I think that what the NBA has a problem with right now is there isn't a young player that is American that has the gravity or the ability to just say, hop on my back and let's pull.
Ant tried doing that coming into the Olympics, and he
and who knows, maybe he grows into it. Because we've seen a lot of growth from him in his first few years in the NBA. Devin Booker, obviously, he could maybe be that guy. Is Cooper Flagg ready in 4 years? That'll be his third year in the NBA. Or will we see a Cooper Flagg have the ability to kind of pull guys along? But outside of that, you're not going to rely on Joel Embiid moving forward.
He'll be 35. Anthony Davis will be 34. Victor Wembanyama will be 24.
And that's another issue that Team USA is going to have is who are going to be the bigs?
I mean, your bigs right now are Chet and Paolo.
Yeah.
And Paolo's more forward than big. People might call this homerish, but I think there is an outside chance that Donovan Clingan is a guy that starts getting looks.
Team-oriented, defender, rim protector.
Where do you go to school?
Yeah, UConn.
I would not be surprised if Dan Hurley ended up being one of the assistant coaches on Team USA.
Yeah. That was a hell of a basketball game, though, and that was really fun to watch. And to see the U.S. kind of have to grit their way through an Olympics, I thought it was more exciting. I thought it was better than just they're going to win. They're going to win. It's going to be easy.
No, I mean,
they had to grind this thing out.
The takeaway from me from the Olympics on the men's and women's sides, the losers for the French team on both sides, they weren't just happy to be there. They were disappointed they lost.
Yeah, let's talk about that women's game because...
Ooh, buddy. They almost effed around and found out.
Yeah, they did. And probably the most honest quote about an Olympic performance I've ever heard. And we'll wrap up the Olympic Games as well. First, we got Big Kahuna with Sports Center. I do appreciate that there is a little bit of an awareness by a couple of players on the men's and women's national teams that didn't get a lot of run, but still got their gold medals.
Mm.
Tyrese Halliburton tweeted out yesterday, when you ain't done nothing on the group project, but still get an A, and posted a photo with his gold medal. That's A-plus work by Tyrese Halliburton. And then Lindsey Schnell, she tweeted out from USA Today, she tweeted out a question she asked Diana Taurasi. How did it feel to one-up your bestie Sue Bird? You have one more gold medal than her now. Diana Taurasi's response was, yeah, it's the only reason I came. It's funny because we scored the same amount of points today.
Yeah. Remember that big deal everyone made about Diana Taurasi earning it, and then they had to yank her off the floor because she was actively not good? Yeah. I wonder if the Diana Taurasi, Jason Tatum stuff changes the dynamic for the selection process going forward, and that being instead of going to the old heads and creating issues, that being a designated young player spot.
Well, the Halliburton played less than Tatum even.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Jason Tatum's in catching all the strays from it, but Halliburton played significantly less time than Jason Tatum.
Well, it's because he didn't complain.
Boston fans were complaining a lot for
Tatum's
Jason Tatum.
Also on his Instagram posting those tweets on it to his stories.
Yeah.
So yeah, he cares.
Yeah, that is, but get over yourself. Yeah. Come on. You won a gold medal. The U.S. women, though, they got a scare. 1-point win in their gold medal game yesterday morning, and that game was dicey all the way through, and it came down to France hit a shot at the buzzer. Foot was over the line.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't close. It wasn't like the KD for Brooklyn when they beat Milwaukee, where it was just like barely. Her foot was all the way over the line.
Yeah. Thankfully, they measure in centimeters, not inches over there. Coaching was a real issue for women's basketball in the tournament. Thankfully, they decided, hey, you know what we should do when Asia's smoking layup after layup after layup? Maybe we should get somebody on the floor who can hit a shot. And Sabrina was finally inserted into the game.
Yep.
Shooting was a real issue for Team USA throughout much of this process.
Well, so was turnovers.
Yeah.
And Caitlin Clark wouldn't have helped that situation. She is a turnover machine.
Yeah, she's also an assist machine. So I going back and forth on that, I think.
If you can't make shots, that's the issue.
Yeah, the difference is she can.
Well, she can.
Yeah.
But nobody else was making shots for Team USA.
No, I mean,
you're not going to get assists if they don't make the shot.
Everyone made a big deal.
2 feet was a big issue for the U.S. women yesterday.
My goodness, I am not going to poo-poo the growth of women's basketball. It's in a great spot. I'm glad to see it's doing well. That was putrid basketball that was being played yesterday. And France is good, brother. I don't care how good or bad you are. When you smoke that many layups, it's an issue.
Yeah.
And it was
brutal.
It was bad basketball.
Brutal.
But Team USA had enough talent to bail themselves out. They screwed up. Gabby Williams was not supposed to even get that shot off. They were supposed to foul. Coach said that in the post game. It's like, That would have been tough if she had taken off a foot earlier.
That's brutal, dude.
I mean, you start just kind of going through that. I'm glad Team USA, you know, 61 straight Olympic victories. It's one of the most dominant runs we've ever 62 seen.
62 now, right? Isn't it? Didn't they get 62?
That was 61.
Oh, all right. I don't know.
I could be wrong.
I think the semifinal win was number 60.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so yeah,
it's 61.
Yeah.
That is so many damn wins in a row.
So many wins. I mean, the thing is, though, you're looking at the vulnerability of both the men's and the women's teams going forward.
Yep.
You're seeing the rest of the world is catching up. Now, I think women's basketball is going to be in a position that's much better than the men's side when you're talking about the handing off of the torch. Next up for the women, it's Juju.
Mm-hmm.
It's Caitlin. It's Angel Reese.
Yeah.
It's Paige Beckers. Like, the women's game, the stars.
Cameron Brink.
Like, the stars are coming.
Yeah.
Like, you don't go, I wonder who's going to be on the next women's team. You know what I mean? Like, the next women's team is going to be loaded.
Yeah.
The next men's team,
France is going to be better, especially when they're young guards who are coming
Nolan
through
Traore
the pipeline.
Will be in the draft this year. He's going to be a top five pick unless something drastically changes. And that was, I think, the difference really for France. Wemby was good. He had an okay Olympics. I think you saw a little bit of the torch passing from Braun to Wemby. But the big problem was Wemby's offense is still not quite there yet, and they didn't have a guard that was interested in getting involved. You had Evan Fournier and Nick Ntilikina like putting the ball down and just putting their head down.
I forgot about Frank Ntilikina.
Yeah,
until
Frankie Smokes, baby.
Dude, Knicks fans very upset.
Gershon Yabusele is probably going to end up getting an NBA contract after baptizing LeBron James.
That dunk was awesome.
Hey, man, he did it for Frederick Weiss.
Oh man, it was the overall good wrap up for the Olympics.
Yeah,
USA they flexed 40 golds. Tied with China.
Oh, babe.
My son was not happy that I went to a tiebreaker, but somehow
total medals, we win.
Total medals by a lot. Mm. Landslide on that bad boy. I think if you do like the total points thing, right? Where
you 5-3-1.
Yeah, 5-3-1. Oh, you want to go 5-3-1? Yeah. I thought it was 3-2-1. Yeah. But if you do 3-2-1, it'd be like 248 points for the United States, 204 for China.
It's a substantial difference.
It was a landslide. Yeah. We have supreme dominance. But I thought the whole weekend, the way that it wrapped up the Olympics, so from NBC's coverage, where they're spending $7 billion on this thing.
All of the monies.
You get a dramatic gold medal win on Saturday for the men's basketball team. Dramatic gold medal win for the women's team. On the track, it was electric.
That women's 4x4 relay.
Where the U.S. won by 100 meters.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
I've never seen a track event where somebody got beat that badly.
I've never seen a high-level track event.
I've seen high school track meets
where that happens. Yeah. But
not the Olympics or the World Championships. That was insane.
They damn near won a four-lap race by 100 meters. Like, that was staggering. That was
a level of dominance. That was Ledecky in the pool type stuff.
And then the men's 4x4, where the U.S. men have to gut it out, and they end up getting it at the lean. That was fun, too. You had great finishes all the way around. I felt for Quincy Wilson, the 16-year-old 400 runner. He ran in the semifinals and got the United States into the final. And then he didn't run well. And then he got his gold medal. Do you see his tweet after?
Mm-mm.
He's
is this the one going back to school?
He goes, dang, I really got to go back to high school in 2.5 weeks. What a flex that's going to be when you show up and everybody's wearing their new fits on the first day of school and he's coming in with a gold medal wrapped around his neck. He's like,
hey, man, what'd you do this summer?
Nah, I went to Paris.
You know he's wearing it.
Oh, he's got to.
He's wearing it to school.
You're 16 years old. You're wearing that thing everywhere.
Yeah.
Yes. That's the most badass thing a 16-year-old can do.
There's not a lot a teacher could tell me after winning a gold medal.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you over the sound of my gold medal. I'm late, my bad.
I think the biggest star of the Olympics, though, was Ilona Maher, the rugby player, women's rugby player. Somebody did the metrics on the biggest gains
followers
by any Olympic athlete, and she gained 3 million followers on Instagram.
Wasn't the pole vaulter?
Nope.
Because I know he gained 25,000 in 10 minutes.
She went from about 500,000 followers to 3.5 million followers in a week.
You know what? That's an actual tangible thing, because that's money in her pocket now.
That's
like influencer money now.
Yeah. And she's funny, dude.
Pole vaulter was an actual tangible thing, too.
I mean, you're going to have OnlyFans.
No.
What's a company... There's a company that anytime something like this happens, we get an email, and I'm sure it's coming up. Cam Soda.
That's right, yes.
They'll send it like, hey, by the way, we've offered so-and-so $20 million to do a live stream. It's like, they're not going to take that, but if you're a pole vaulter.
I want somebody to finally do it.
Yeah, just say, all right.
For $20 million? Sure.
Yeah, I'll do it. Pay no attention to the fact he hit the bar on the way up, but I'm not.
You want to see a baby's arm holding an apple?
I'm not gonna judge that one there. It was a big come up for the French though in their trousers, because he had the French diver at the beginning and then the French pole vaulter at the end, bookending the Olympics with bulge pictures going viral for the French. So good Olympics, France. Good Olympics. And then LA came out swinging in the closing ceremonies, bringing out Snoop and Dr. Dre during the handoff, because they do the ceremonial handoff from the host country to the next host country. Bringing out Snoop and Dre was perfect. I do have one very confusing question for everybody. I saw that Vanessa Bryant has released an LA 2028 logo where the A has the Kobe Black Shield. Mamba shield in it. Why? Are we going to make this a Kobe Olympics?
Yes, because
are we really doing this?
Death a little bit more.
Well, why?
It's all very dumb.
Like, I don't.
I don't know if you know this, Dusty. Kobe Bryant was an Olympian.
I do know that.
Yeah,
I get that. Yeah. I know he played.
In fact, the greatest Olympian of all time.
That's not true.
Oh,
but
he wasn't.
He played in L.A. I get it. You know how many great athletes have played in Los Angeles?
Heaven forbid we get an Olympics
Kobe
basketball
Bryant.
Game in L.A. on the 8th or the 24th of a given month.
Oh my God.
I'm going to want to blow my brains out.
Kobe Bryant isn't even the greatest Laker.
He's like the fourth greatest Laker.
I mean...
And yet here we are. But because, unfortunately, he passed in horrible circumstances,
his
legacy is remembered quite differently.
That was so confusing. I was like, why is this? Why do we have a Kobe Olympic? Okay. All right. Whatever. LA 2028. Bring it on. We get baseball back. We get flag football. Yeah, we're going to Americanize this stuff, and we're going to win tons of gold medals. That's our Olympics wrap up for you. All right. The AP Top 25 released for the preseason rankings, where the Ducks land in the top 25. Here comes the machine, still working again. We'll give you an update on how the AP voters voted next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. The AP Top 25 poll has been released. I do not get too over my skis with the top 25 polls, especially preseason. Or at the beginning of any season.
It doesn't matter.
But it gives the people something to talk about, huh?
It does.
In the AP Top 25, just a little brief history here for you. I looked this up since 2000, the AP Top 25. The number one team in the AP Top 25 to win the national champion, it has happened twice. 2017, the University of Alabama, which was a unanimous number one in the preseason poll, and the 2004 USC Trojans, which I believe were near unanimous.
Yep.
Top 20 in the preseason top 25. Those are the only two. Outside of that, the preseason number two has won 8 times, including last year. Michigan was preseason number two. The number three team has won the national title 3 times. Most recently, the 2022 Georgia, and then the 2020 Alabama Crimson Tide. The number four preseason ranking has never won a national title. A bad sign.
If you're
Texas, who's sitting fourth this year. And then the fifth ranked team has won 4 times. Yeah.
That's That's actually, I mean,
that's a weird little quirk, huh?
So
most recently was 2014 Ohio State.
First is twice, and fifth is four?
Yeah. Yeah.
God.
And then
there's really no indicative power with this thing at all, other than second.
No. And then six and seven have each won one. LSU 2019, they were ranked sixth in the preseason poll. 2006, Florida was ranked seventh. And then it's kind of a crapshoot. Number 11, Florida State won the title in 2013. 2010, Auburn was the preseason 22nd ranked team in the land.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And then Ohio State.
I guess Cam transferring in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
2002, you had number 13 Ohio State, and then 2000, number 19 Oklahoma won. But it is, if you look at it, I think that tells you all you need to know about the preseason rankings, where in the last 24 seasons of college football,
if you're out to the top five, you're not getting it.
Two have won that have been preseason number one. And if you're going the top three, it is 13. If you go top five, 17 of the 24 have been in the top five.
So top five's indicative.
All right. Well, let's look at the top five then. Coming in at number one, 46 first place votes, the Georgia Bulldogs. Number two, 15 first place votes, the Ohio State Buckeyes. Three is Oregon with one first place vote. Wonder who that was. I wonder who had the balls to put Oregon number one. Number four is Texas, and that's an interesting one. Again, no team preseason number four has ever won the title, or I guess in the last 24 years has not won the title. And then number five, good sign if you're a Kalen DeBoer fan, Alabama.
Mm.
Alabama at number five. So those are the top five right there. Rounding out the top 10, you have Ole Miss at 6, Notre Dame at 7, Penn State 8th, Michigan 9th, and Florida State 10th. That is essentially the same thing that we saw in the coaches' top 25. The only differences are you can flip-flop Michigan and Penn State. That's the only change from the coaches' poll preseason.
I think there's pretty straight lines you can draw with the thinking process behind the preseason polls, right? Like, it's no one's sitting there going, well, what about if this? I think you've got the extra juice for Michigan coming off a title.
Yep.
Even though they're going to be a very different team. But because even with everyone gone, you give them benefit of the doubt culturally because of what they've been able to build over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Ohio State, I get why they're there, but I also raise an eyebrow.
Yeah.
Because of what they haven't been able to accomplish. And then Oregon and Texas, I think, are the ones that are just sitting there ready to pounce.
There are exact same teams from the AP to the coaches, top 25, just shuffled in the order near the bottom. Iowa is 25th in both poll. Got to score some points, but the defense is good enough to get him a top 25 ranking.
That's the thing is, like, if you told me that Iowa ended up with a better season than USC in the Big Ten, it wouldn't necessarily surprise me, but if you're talking about holistically how you win in college football, I think it's easier for USC to win than it is for Iowa because, yes, USC's defense is not good, but Iowa's offense is so bad that it takes them out of being competitive with certain teams at any level. And I think that that's kind of the thing that holds them back. And if you told me that Iowa ended up in the top 20 in the at the end of the season, wouldn't bat an eye.
Yeah, the new Iowa offense not coming around very quickly.
Oh, shocking.
No, they had their preseason scrimmage and Cade McNamara, the projected starting quarterback,
Michigan transfer,
went 8 of 24 for 20 yards and a pick six. 6 of his 8 completions were checkdowns behind the line of scrimmage.
Oof. That's like redefining check down, Charlie.
Well, his backup quarterback, Brendan Sullivan, who's a Northwestern transfer, not much better. 10 of 21, 76 yards.
So Kirk Ferentz does make a deal with the devil that his quarterbacks are not allowed to be good and his defense is going to consistently churn out NFL players.
That has got to be like the least assuring thing I've ever heard if I'm an Iowa football fan.
But like, no matter what quarterback you bring in, they're not good. Like that's...
Or coordinator.
Right.
There may be a part of Kirk Ferentz that was like, you know what? I'm going to show these guys. You think it's my kid's fault? I'm going to hire someone worse. You think nepotism was the problem? No. No, it's me.
It's actually all me.
Washington fans, I do believe you have a gripe. They came in 26th, just on the outside looking in the coaches poll. The AP has them 32nd behind Liberty, Iowa State, SMU, Boise State, Virginia Tech, and Louisville. I think Washington's going to be better than that. But it'll be slow to get there. They will be better by the end of the year. That is not a program that is void of talent.
No.
They're going to surprise a team or two this year. They are going to be very well coached. That is something we do know. They are going to be better than what they're getting credit for right now. But I understand it from the national perspective, because when you lose your entire offense and then you only return Carson Bruner on defense, yeah, I get why nobody's giving them credit.
The other side of this, and on the group of five side, just on the outside looking in, is Boise State. I'm really interested to see what they look like with Genty and Malachi.
Yeah, Malachi Nelson, the USC transfer quarterback, and then Genty, their running back, who came back for another year, didn't go to the NFL, didn't go into the transfer portal. I think Oregon has them week two.
It's not an easy matchup. That's a difficult team.
I think they will, they'll overwhelm them with numbers.
Yes,
is kind of what you're looking at. Yeah. But if anybody is overlooking that Boise State game,
don't do it.
That'd be a fool's game right there. But
because there's talent on that Boise State team,
but I think that
it's the depth that Oregon is overwhelmed with.
Has overwhelmingly more talent.
Yep.
At every position group there. So there's your top 25. USC 23rd.
I'm not surprised, but I am.
Utah,
that they made the top 25.
Utah, the highest ranked Big 12 team or Big 12 team at 12th.
They should have been in the top 10.
I think when it's all said and done, they will be, because of their
when you've got their
schedule.
When you've got that tight end and that quarterback coming back again.
Well, Kyle Whittingham's just a really damn good coach.
And him's a coach.
They will get propped up as the season goes on, because there is an automatic seat at the table for the Big 12. And as cannibalization happens, we'll see them getting a little bit of a better nod. Outside of that, no votes for the Beavs or the Cougs. Colorado did get one vote.
Why? Do you think it's the CBS reporter in Colorado?
Got to make sure Dion doesn't yell at him.
It's the CBS reporter in Colorado.
Yeah.
See, I like you.
Yeah, I don't. Somebody at CBS did it. Well, this is the great part about the AP Top 25 and what they do, is that you can go through.
You can check their votes, right?
And yeah, you can check how every voter voted in the every poll, but it takes a little while for them to aggregate it all. So if that happens, I'll get you guys what's on the up and up here. It is already up. It is already up. We can find Brett McMurphy, Action Network. He was the one person to vote Oregon number one.
That's not surprising. We've talked about this before. Brett has some weird votes.
Yeah, he does have some weird votes.
His top 25 made my eyebrow go up.
He's got Iowa at 19th. That's a choice. That's a choice right there.
Yeah, if you look at his top 25, I bet you there's some stuff going on.
Oh, the one vote for Colorado was Mike Hill, Fox Sports.
Huh.
He had Colorado in and USC out. That was his switcheroo from what everybody else kind of had. He had Liberty at 24, Colorado at 25. Yikes. Huh. All right.
Okay.
Mike Hill, Fox Sports.
Okay.
The one Colorado vote. All right, coming up, hour number two. Rookie shine in week one of the preseason. Use caution, but it's okay to get excited. Next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.